Okay, we're starting our 20th class, and we're still on the topic of bracha achrona, the after bracha. And last week we discussed at length birchas hamazon, benching. And there's still one more thing about benching. Even though women don't usually think it affects them, but it does. And that's why I left you copies of the NCSY Bencher again, so if you can just grab yourself a copy. And again, on page 59 in that bencher, there is an additional mitzvah that we do before we bench. And that's on page 60. And that is the mitzvah of zimun, which literally means invitation. And the Talmud tells us that when three or more men over the age of 13 have eaten a bread meal together, we are required to add a special introduction before Birchas Hamazon, and that's called Zimun, invitation. And a concept behind it is when there's already three people, and there's a group of people that are going to simultaneously be blessing Hashem on a biblical level, you just don't, as it were, fall into it, but rather you prepare yourself for that. And that really has a biblical source, where Moshe tells the Jewish people, you know, as I bless Hashem, let's all bless Hashem together. And that's an introduction to what is going to happen. Just like you say, Baruch Hu es Hashem Amvarach, before you start the blessings of the Shema. So we want to, so to speak, be organized together, so that our benching works together, and that's called the Zimun. And therefore, and some people, you know, you follow the instructions, but let's go through it very quickly. It's on page 60 and 61 in the NCSY Bencher. There's one person who leads the Zimun, while the others respond to him. And that's where you find, in the Hebrew, it says right there, right at the under the gray box there on page 60, Rabosai Nevarech, which means, my friends, let us say the blessing. Let us say the blessing of the Birchat Hamazon. And then, you know, they're really like, you're talking to each other. It's not just like reading words. You know, when you're benching, you're talking to Hashem. Before that, you're talking to your friends and saying, you know, my friends, let's say the blessing. And then they respond, yes, may the name of the Lord be blessed from now and forevermore. And then the leader says, that's right, may the name of the Lord be blessed from now and forevermore. And therefore, then he says, Birshus, with the permission, as it were, with whoever you want to get permission from. And on the left side, on 61, says, Maranan v'Rabbanan v'Rabbasai, with the permission of all the important people at the table. Here's the point. The key word is Nivarech. Let us bless. Shachalnu mishalo, from whom we have eaten from. That's what you're about to say. Let's now, with everyone's permission, let us now bless the one from whom we have eaten. And everyone responds, yes, Baruch Shachalnu mishalo. Blessed is he whose food we've eaten, uf tuval chayinu, and through whose goodness we live. All right, that is to be done, and it's been done out loud. The leader says it out loud. Rabbosai, let us bless God. He says, yes, may the Lord of Hashem be blessed. Yes, let Hashem's name be blessed. And therefore, with your permission, with your consent, let us now bless Hashem from the food we have eaten. And they say that is true. Okay, and then, now when you're having three men, now, this will always apply when women eat with three men. So that'll happen on a Shabbos table often, when there's three men. This is what should be three men over bar mitzvah. Okay? So the leader, whoever is the leader, when there's three people, there's an obligation to have a leader leading the benching. So he leads with this introductory section. And then, when we do the first blessing on page 61, Baruch Atah Hashem, it's really incumbent upon the leader to say that first paragraph out loud, even though everybody is benching silently along. And then when he comes to the end of that blessing on page 61, Baruch Ato Hashem Hazon Es HaKol, everyone answers Amen upon hearing the leader's blessing. Now, that's important. A lot of people either forget to do this whole thing, or even if you're doing it, they figure, well, once we just did the Zimun, we start the bench, we bench on our own. Or some people, you like to sing, you know, Baruch Ato Hashem, you do that together. That's also nice. But the problem is, you've got to answer the blessing that the leader is blessing. So therefore, even if you're going to be singing this first paragraph, the leader should pause at the end, and when everybody's finished making their blessing, he should at least out loud say, Baruch Ato Hashem Hazon Es HaKol. So that everybody answers Amen to that blessing. Okay? So that's the real proper way that it should be done. Now, who gets the honor of leading the benching? I'm sorry?
I said, I know that question.
That's a what question?
I said, I know the answer to that question.
Oh.
Or at least I think I do.
Okay, the answer is, if there's a Kohen at the table, he gets that honor. What if there's no Kohen at the table?
Legend.
Then it goes to a... No, it goes to a Torah scholar. A Levi doesn't get that much honor as people think they get. It goes to a Torah scholar, okay? Now, if this honor is given to or an important person, let's say a groom by his wedding, they might want to honor him, or a bar mitzvah boy. If there is a Kohen there, then you have to ask permission from the Kohen to be able to do that. Because the Kohen is given special privileges. He always leads in many areas. He always gets first. He gets the first aliyah to the Torah in shul. And he should lead religious services, as it were, and get the honor. So let's say you have a Kohen, but you'd like to give the honor to somebody else. It's not so simple, because we are prohibited to dishonor Kohanim. So therefore, if you look carefully, when we say birishus, with the permission of, looking again at page 60, okay? So, for example, if you're eating at your parents' table, you'll say, with the permission of my father, because really my father should be leading the benching, but I'll do that. Or let's say you have a host, then you say birishus balabais. I do it with the permission of the balabais. Now, they did not put in the NCSY bencher if there's a Kohen present. So if a Kohen, let's say there's a Kohen, and for whatever reason you're not giving him the honor. Let's say even simple, he's an ignorant person. He doesn't know how to lead the benching. Still need his permission. So then you say, Birshus HaKohen, or Kohanim, with the permission of the Kohanim. Or Birshus, and that's why we say, not only that, Birshus Maranon, V'Rabbanon, V'Rabbasai, any scholars that are there. You have to get permission. There is proper etiquette and menschlichkeit as it starts, because this is an honorable thing to do, and therefore the honor requires the most honorable person. And if someone else is giving for another reason, you have to get their permission, as it were. Technically, claim to say, I don't give permission, and I insist on leading the benching, and you have to give it to me. People aren't that, you know, particular, but you still have to acknowledge that you are having their permission. So therefore, you have to... So either way, at least you're always saying with the permission of the all those that are present. So now that you have permission, then we move on with that. Now, it's interesting that what does it mean? That's what three men eat together. Now, what does eating together mean? So it's defined as either starting the meal together or finishing the meal together. Let's say, for example, let's say you're at a restaurant, right? And you just happen to be sitting at a table, and next door is another table. Let's say there's two men on one table and one man at the other table. Just happen to come in at the same time. Just happen to be finishing at the same time, right? So that doesn't mean that they have to bench together, because they really didn't sit down together. As opposed to, let's say, a wedding meal, where everyone's together, well, then you're obligated, because everybody came for the same purpose. Even though it's a big room and I'm far away from certain people, you have to bench with a zimun. Okay, now, once you've eaten together, three people are there, you've got to bench with a zimun. You have to. If there's three men who are together, you're obliged, even if, let's say, one guy wants to leave before the others. One guy finishes eating before the other two. He says, well, I'm ready to bench. Yeah, but we're not finished. So then what do you do then? Well, you will allow the first person to go bench and start with the Zimun, and the other two people will answer him, although they're not required to bench yet. You follow? The three guys sat down together to eat a meal. They are now, and they're eating, they started eating together. One guy's finishing up, he wants to leave. He can't just bench and leave, because the three of them were obliged to do this invitation. So what he can do is he can invite the other two people. They don't have to finish eating yet. They'll respond to him, and then he benches, he leaves, and when they want to bench, they bench. They don't have to do another Zimun, because there's only two of them there. Okay? Now, how about if, let's say, two people ate bread and a third people ate some other food? Well, you can also do a Zimun. That's point number six. If only two people have eaten bread together, a third person can complete the Zimun by preferably eating bread. But if he doesn't want to eat bread, he can consume with them anything that requires a bracha achrona except for water. So let's say like this. Let's say two people, there's two men at a Shabbos table. And then towards the end of your meal, when a guest comes over to visit, and you're still not ready to bench, so you could say, here, have a cookie. And he eats a cookie, has a couple cookies, he's obliged to make a bracha achrona. Now we have had a third fellow there, and now we can bench together at the three. Now, here's the point that applies to the women. Although women, you cannot include three adults, such as two men and one woman, because the rabbis find that to be tznius, to have men and women together combining a group. So if there's two men and one woman, you would not bench with a Zimun. But if there are three men, and there is going to be Zimun, women are obliged to answer. They are obliged to answer. So that often happens at a Shabbos table, right? So they are obliged to answer. Now here's another interesting law that not everybody's aware of. What if three ladies go out for lunch? You go to lunch today, and you all ate bread. So the truth of the matter is, you three ladies without men can form their own Zimun. And they can do this. They're not obliged to. According to the law, there's no reason why they can't. It's customary not to, although you'll find in many quote-unquote modern Orthodox circles, women will do that. So it's certainly not an Avera. It's just not the common practice. But if three women would like to do it without any men, they're allowed to do it. But clearly, what a woman needs to know, regardless of anything, if there are three men, there is required to do the Zimun. The woman is required to respond to that Zimun. That is for sure. And just as we said last week, she's required to wash my machronim. So she's in that game as well. Now, if there are 10 men over bar mitzvah, we add on page 61, not just we bless from whom we ate, we insert the word Elokeinu. It's in a bracket there. If you see on the third line, fourth line from the top, it says the others say, Baruch Elokeinu. Because when there's 10 people, the Shekhinah is present at the table. And now we acknowledge it more with saying Hashem's name. Now, it's also preferable when three people are benching on a cup of wine. For sure, when it's 10, that the person leading the benching should have a cup of wine in his hand. And he benched, it was called benching on a cup, benching on a coast. If 10 men are benching together with a Zimun, you should bring, even though they didn't drink any wine, you should bring a cup of wine. He holds on to the wine as he makes the entire benching. And at the end of the benching, he makes a blessing of Borei Priya Gofen. That's if there's 10 people. If there's three, it's also preferable but not obligatory. So there is this idea of bringing a cup of wine to accompany the benching. Now, if there is a bris milah or a sheva brachas, according to Ashkenazic tradition, the introduction is a more elaborate introduction. And that's why less people are familiar with that. If you look on page 81, for example, This is at a wedding or at a Sheva Brachot on page 81. You see, after you begin the first part of Yehi Shem Hashem Baruch Me'olam, there's a long Aramaic part that the leader starts. Talks about, you know, acknowledging the joy that we have and Hashem should take sadness away. It's in Aramaic. And therefore, if you want to honor somebody to lead the bench in a Sheva Brachos, you had better make sure that he's proficient in reading Hebrew, because it would be very embarrassing. Even if the person can bench, can even lead the benching, but that's, you get used to it, you do it all the time, and it's in Hebrew, it's in Aramaic, and it could be very embarrassing. The leader will make a fool of himself. So you have to make sure that who you honor with that knows how to read Hebrew properly. And similarly, at a bris, same idea, there's also a much more elaborate invitation. It's found on page 85. It's about an extra 5-6 choral rounds that go there. So that's an extra thing that's done as well. That's something the men have to know, but it's just wanted to put that in. Okay, so now we've dealt with everything we need to know about benching. Yep.
So just in a summary, when the Zimun takes place, everybody should respond and participate in it, but that doesn't mean that everybody has to bench at that time.
That's correct. That's correct. If, let's say somebody wants to bench, and if he leaves, there won't be three people or whatever, and we won't have a zimun. You don't have to respond. If let's say the regular Shabbos meal, everybody's benching, and you still want to eat for whatever reason, you don't want to bench yet, or you know, let's say during the meal you had to take care of the kids, and everybody got to eat, and you were busy the whole time, and nursing the baby and feeding the baby, and now we're ready to bench. Oh, I'm not ready. I didn't even get to the soup yet. Right? Then you respond, and then you'll bench when you when you're finished eating. Then you can bench. Okay, good. Now we go to another area, and that is going to be what we call time and space for a bracha achrona, which means normally the way things should be done. If you're eating at this table, you finish eating at the table, you should bench at the table. Or whatever bracha achrona you made, you should do at the table. And that's the way it makes sense, because you've eaten here, you should bless Hashem here. And you should be doing it after you've eaten. That's normal. But you know what? Many people don't live normally. What if, let's say, you were in a rush and you forgot to make an after blessing? And you remember a half an hour later, you didn't make it. Can you still make the after blessing? Well, the answer is it depends. What if, let's say, you ate breakfast in the house, whatever, and you're rushing out the door, you forgot. Now you're at your office, all right, or wherever you're at, and now you remember. Can you, number one, and it's a half an hour later, so now we have two questions we have to ask. Is the time delay going to have a negative effect that you can no longer bench? And also, must you bench in the place where you ate? Those are the two issues we have to discuss. And you'll see, as everything in Judaism, it's not that simple. If you go, well, I just remembered here, let me do it here. Well, depends on it. So we got to look at two aspects, the time frame and the place you're at. So that's why, again, I'll repeat, the best thing is, as soon as you know you're finished eating, don't kratz around, don't delay, just bench. And I'll tell you where this becomes very applicable, a Shabbos meal, and you've had the meal, and you start schmoozing. Now, I'm sure you've probably been involved on one or more occasions where the schmoozing can take over even an hour. You just didn't get around to benching. Right, something about, well, once you bench, everyone's going to get up and leave. And, oh, we're having such a good time, you just schmooze. You just forget. It's just, does that ever happen? Right? So now you're running into a problem. If you're schmoozing too long, you may not be able to bench. Because an after blessing can only be made if the effect of the eating is still appreciated. So let's give a theoretical case. Let's say you benched, and it's 10 hours later you realized you didn't bench. All right? Can you thank God for that meal that you had? Well, obviously not. You know why? Because the Torah says you shall eat and be satiated and bless God. Well, after I finish eating, I'm satiated, but 10 hours later, I'm no longer satiated. So then you've lost the opportunity to bless. So we know 10 hours later for sure wouldn't work. Question is, how much is how much? That's the issue. So now let's take a look inside of the notes over here. You may recite an after bracha as long as you still feel the effect of the food or the drink in your stomach, meaning you're not as hungry as before eating the food. Now, there's a Talmudic term for that. That's called zman ikul, the time it takes to digest. Okay? Once the food's been digested, then that's called too late. It takes a long time for food to digest. But once the food is fully digested, then you're going to be hungry again. So as long as you're still hungry, that's the general rule. As long as you're halachically hungry, you could still bench. All right, now that's by food. But regarding drinks, the moment you no longer feel the effect of the drink, why do you drink normally when you're thirsty? When do you stop drinking? When you're not thirsty. When will you drink again? When you are thirsty. That's how it usually was. Things have changed. Because now doctors say, just take a water bottle with you and just go all day long with a water bottle. So you never know when you're thirsty or not. But generally speaking, right? Like, I don't know if you're... there's nothing wrong with it. I don't know if you're drinking the coffee now because you're thirsty. It's just that became like the social thing. They just got to do something with your hands, you know. Instead of smoking, right? It's better to drink coffee, right? But really, the way it would, should work... I mean, animals do this instinctively. You ever see a lion, you know, rip up another animal just for the, you know, because I want to have a nosh? No, when the lion's hungry, he has to eat. So therefore, the same thing. If you're no longer thirsty, you stop drinking. As long as you're still no longer thirsty, you could still make an after blessing on it. But if you're going to be thirsty again and you haven't made the blessing, then you've lost out. So let's see. And therefore, if you're still, you no longer feel the effects, well, then you can't make an after blessing on the water. Let's say you had a snack, a light snack. All right. So now we're going to point 3 and 4, and we're going to go through the real details now, the pragmatics. So let's say you had a light snack. Doesn't matter. It could be bread, other foods. It wasn't a full dinner. It was a quick bite. Let's say you had a coffee and a Danish. Okay. And now you didn't make a bracha achrona right away. So now what's going to be the time frame? Now obviously you're not starving, you're not hungry, but you haven't really satiated yourself. I mean, it's not a really large bread, but you had what to eat. So you have to calculate from the last bite of food that you took. When you have a snack, here's the rules. If it's within 30 minutes, then for sure the digestive process did not start. And you for sure would make a bracha achrona even after that time. 30 minutes is for sure you're obliged still to make it because you're still not hungry from a snack. Okay, let's now the problem is the next stage because it's not sure. It's a doubtful stage between 30 minutes and 72 minutes. That's where it's kind of iffy. Where it's kind of started to digest but not fully digested. But then again, you didn't have a real full meal. So if your snack involved only non-bread foods, and it's within 30 to 72 minutes, now you're in a bona fide halachic shaila that we're not sure what you should do. And therefore, if you're not obliged to bench, you're not allowed to. If you are obliged, you have to, but we don't know. It's a debatable point. When you're going in that time frame, it's not a good time frame, so you try to avoid any issues. And that's if it's non-bread. So what do? You should eat another food. You have to make a new bracha on something that you were not planning on eating. Another bracha rishona that will have the same bracha achrona. So let's say like this. Let's say you had a Danish and a coffee, which is not a major meal. And you're rushing out, and, oh, I forgot to bench. So if it's within 30 minutes, just bench, right? But if it's between 30 and 72, you're now in a shaila. Like, what do? So what do? Take another day. To avoid any issues, take another Danish. Make a mezonos on the Danish. Eat enough that requires a bracha achrona. And then you'll make a bracha achrona on that Danish. And it'll cover the first one just in case you were supposed to make it on it. You follow? Right? That way you avoid the question. If it's within 30 minutes, we know it has not been digested. So you for sure just make a bracha achrona. If you haven't had bread, but you had a snack that was not bread, between 30 and 72 minutes, we're really not sure. So how do you avoid the issue? Get a brand new food that needs that same bracha. Eat enough. Make for sure a bracha. You'll have in mind. It'll work on the other one. Now, let's say this option's not available. There is nothing else. Well, after the fact, we say you can still make a bracha achrona until 72 minutes after the last bite. So again, within 30 minutes, it's no problem at all. Just make a bracha achrona. Between 30 minutes and 72 minutes, preferably find another food to eat. Make a bracha out of that. Covers the first one. If you don't, after the fact, you can still make an after blessing until 70 minutes. But once it's after 72 minutes, time is up. You've lost the chance completely. There's no way you can make a bracha achrona at that point. That's all if it's a snack. Yeah?
So if you're eating something and you go to a different place... And
we're not up to the different place yet. Oh. I'm talking about the time frame now. We have to get to the place in a minute.
Okay.
I'm talking in terms of time right now.
Okay.
All right? Let me just go a little further. But that's if it was a snack. Yeah?
Why does it say a different bracha rishona?
I'm sorry, then you should eat another fruit requiring a different...
But then the Rav suggests
no,
a second mezonos.
Well, okay, so that depends on what you're thinking. So you really could be the same one if you didn't have in mind to eat any more food. But it would be better to have a different bracha rishona because it could be covered from the first bracha. In other words, it could be covered from the first bracha. We're not exactly sure. I mean, you made a mezonos and now there's another one. So that would be the best solution. The best solution, find someone with a different bracha rishona, but the same bracha achrona. So then it's always the same bracha. But if you really weren't planning on having more food, it could even be the same one as well. Okay? Now, good point. Now, what if you had a full meal now? Points four. A lot of food. And your mom is satiated. And then you forgot to make a bracha achrona. Again, it doesn't matter benching or almich, whatever. Well, obviously, we're going to have more time because you were much more full. So now we expand it to 72 minutes. If you ate bread, a Shabbos meal, a full dinner. You had a full dinner. I'm full. Okay, now you forgot. So now we give you up to 72 minutes. Without question, you go and make the bracha achrona. After 72 minutes, it depends. Are you still hungry? Are you now hungry now? Or are you still satiated? So it depends. So if you're still satiated, well, now it's not so simple because there's much, you're still satiated. There's more inclination to say that you shouldn't bench. You can still bench because you're satiated. But it's still after 72 minutes. Maybe it's digested already. That becomes a problem. We generally say after 72 minutes, the digestive process starts already, and maybe you've lost the chance, but it was a full meal, so it's not totally digested. It's entering that questionable zone. As you see in point B, for example, if after 72 minutes you are hungry, then for sure you've lost out the chance. That's for sure. You're finished. You can't make a bracha achrona. But if it's after 72 minutes... But you're not really hungry. Now you're entering that questionable zone. So again, we try to do things to avoid the issue, not to make push come to shove. So preferably, you should eat another size of food that requires a bracha achrona, right? For example, if you finished eating a bread meal more than 72 minutes ago, you should eat another kezias of bread without saying a motzi, and then bench. Because you're still hungry. If for some reason you can't eat more food that requires the same bracha achrona, you can still say bracha achrona, provided you feel satiated. So again, more than 72 minutes, if you're satiated, preferably have a little bit more bread, a kezias of bread, and then bench on that. But if you can't, you could still bench if you feel satiated from the meal. But as we said, if you now feel hungry, then you lost out and you cannot bench anymore. So that's the basic differences. So it boils down to a snack. Get it done within 30 minutes. Between 30 and 72, it gets more complicated. You could still do it, but there's better things to do. And after 72, forget it. A full meal, within 72, you're fine. After 72, depends if you're satiated or not. And if you are hungry after 70 minutes, you've totally lost out on the bracha. That's in terms of timing. Again, so if you had a meal and you've before bench, you start schmoozing for an hour and a half. Oh, we never benched. So now it depends. The people at the table may be doing different things one from another. One person said, well, I'm really still full. If you're really still full, what's the best thing? Have another piece of bread and then bench. I can't eat. I'm still so full. I can't eat another bread. Well, you could still bench. But if another person, oh, I'm going to feel a little hungry now, well, then you've lost out on the benching. That's important. That does come up from time to time. I remember one time I visited, this was when I was a kid, it was a long time, I was like 20. I went to visit a camp out in the mountains in New York, and they had a really long Shalosh Shuvos, like a long Shalosh Shuvos. That's a camp, you know, you sing and this and that. I remember the rabbi there, and this was like a 2-3 hour Shalosh Shuvos, you know, but mostly singing and for Torahs. And I remember like about an hour and a half into it, the rabbi says, make sure everybody now take a little bit of bread now, so we could still bench later. That's what he said. You know, go have something more to eat, because then as long as I'm the last bite, so that's to keep that going. That's all in terms of time. Now we have to go to place. Point five. It's always preferable to say a brachah before leaving the place where you ate. Even if you plan to remain in the same place, it's a good habit to say the Baruch Achrona immediately after eating, before becoming involved in other activities, because you might forget. So really, what the proper thing, let's say you're running a Shabbos table, and the hostess knows that's it, we're not serving any more food, right? Then what should be done, bench. That's it. Just bench. Oh, but we're having such a good time, we don't want it to end. That's fine. You can bench, and then you can continue schmoozing. You can bench and retire to the living room. Okay? In other words, you ate, so you should bench. There's no reason to drag it out, as it were, because things can always come up. You forget. So obviously you should always do that. That is the optimal thing. Okay. But, of course, what happens if you now didn't bench and you're now in a different location? Right? You had breakfast in the house, and then you were in a rush, the phone rang, you know, there's all these things happen. You ate, right? And just as you're finished eating, the cell phone rings, you're having discussion, and before you're, oh my God, I gotta leave, boom, you get in the car, boom, you're in the office, oi, I forgot to make a bracha achron. So now, point six. Now it depends on what the after blessing is, will depend on the place issue. Anything that requires a borei nefashos, Let's say you drank your coffee fast enough to require a borei nefashos, or you had you ate veggies, which would require a borei nefashos, does not need to be recited in the same location as your original bracha rishona. Okay, so let's say you had anything that needs a borei nefashos in another place, you don't have to go back to the place where you ate it. You can make the bracha wherever you remember. All right, but remember that by being in a rush, you are in danger of forgetting to say it all together. So it's always best to say it right away. In other words, let's say, now I can't imagine Brim being so busy, he wouldn't have time to say Berei Nefeshos. Berei Nefeshos, even if you say it slowly, can't be more than 30 seconds. But anyway, person said, I don't have no time to say Berei Nefeshos. I want to say it with Kavada. I'm just going to get in the car and I'll say it at work. Technically, you could do it, but it's not advisable because by the time you get to work, you're for sure going to forget to say Berei Nefeshos. But technically, you could do that, okay? So therefore, Berei Nefeshos does not have to be said in the same location. And therefore, I mean, even initially, you could say, well, I ate it over here, and I'd like to say Berei Nefeshos over there. I mean, you could technically do that, but it's not advisable. Now, as a general rule, you should never leave without saying a bracha achrona. Exceptions are if you're leaving for only a moment, in which case you won't forget to return. You're going to come right back. Let's say you have to go to the bathroom. Okay, go to the bathroom. You're going to come back. Okay, so that's fine. Or let's say you have to go for the sake of a mitzvah. Let's say you have to rush out for mincha or something. But generally, you shouldn't do that. You should make the bracha right away. Now, that's, so Berei Nefeshos, okay, if you're in another place. So let's say you rushed out and now you're at work. I forgot to say it. Berei Nefeshos, not a problem. Now it gets trickier. What about Birchas HaMazon and the three-faceted blessing of Ala Michya, Ala Geffen, Ala Eitz, which is an abridged version, so to speak, of Birchas HaMazon? really initially must be recited in the location where you ate your meal. And even if you left the spot, you're obliged to go back and say the Bracha Achrona in the location where you ate. That's the law. Okay, so now back to the morning breakfast and the Danish. You had a Danish and a coffee. You definitely had the Danish within 4 minutes. You definitely obliged to make an ala michya. You rushed into the car, and now you're at work. According to the letter of the law, you'd have to drive back and make a bracha achrona on the Danish. You have to bench where you ate for these foods. That is the basic law. Okay. However, we'll see in a minute, that is the basic law. How you should, and you're obliged to go back. The Talmud even tells certain stories about people who didn't go back and they met tragic endings. And those who did get back were greatly rewarded. So really, you're obliged to go back. But now, what happens? What happens in the event that you did not say Ala Michya Birchas Hamazon, as the case may be, at the location where you ate the meal? Okay, but so now, what do you do now? Well, drive back. That's not such a practical solution. It took me 45 minutes to get downtown. You're going to tell me to come back. Is there any way out? So there are. The best option is eat a little bit more mizonos. Okay, take another Danish out in your new location, or a little bit more bread, and make a new bracha, enough to bench there, and then it will cover what was in the other place. You follow? Because that makes sense. The fact that I had another mizonos, and I have to make ala michya here, now I can't make one ala michya in two places at the same time. So therefore, it's a good idea to always maybe have a couple cookies in your office, just in case you forget, because, you know, so you could do that. You see how that works for you? Okay. But what if you don't? If you don't have any mizonos or bread, then you should return to that original location to say the proper bracha achrona. However, there's another kicker. How about if I drive back? By the time I drive back, it would be more than 72 minutes, and then I wouldn't have to, I lose the benching. Well, if that's the case, so they'll come to the least acceptable option, say the bracha achrona at the office. So again, when you're talking about mizonos, or that any alha michya, alha eitz, al priya gofen, any of those three, and benching, should be eaten in the place where, set in the place where you ate. If you go somewhere else, you should go back. That's the way it should be done. It's not always practical. So we've advised that if you can get more food in that place of the similar bracha achrona, eat more food there. Now you really are obliged to make a bracha in the new place. It will cover the old place. If you don't have that, you really should go back. But if you don't want to, still you should bench. It's no question. You still have to bench. You can't say, well, since I'm not going to go back, I decided I don't want to go back. Or if I go back, it's going to take more than 72 minutes. You still have to bench. Don't make it say, well, if I'm not the rabbi said I have to bench in the place, and if I'm not going to bench, maybe I shouldn't bother benching. No, you still always have to bench. Now we could say you benched in a very not optimal way. Okay, so that's why you see why it's better to always make a bracha before you leave the table. Okay, now that's where, I'm sorry, that was with ala michya and benching. The halacha is a bit more lenient, point 10, with regard to ala eitz and ala gefen. The bracha achrona, if you had, let's say, dates or wine, in this case, if you mistakenly left, you can go ahead and say a bracha achrona without eating any more fruit or drinking wine, and you can, after the fact, say it in the new location for ala eitz and ala gefen. Now, how about, this is a question that comes up often, what if you originally intend to finish your meal in a different location? You're starting in location A, and you plan on going to location B when you started at A, then as long as you have some bread in the second location, it's 100% fine to bench there. This stipulation only works with bread, but not with other fruits. So again, if let's say you're having a kiddush in shul, and there's challah to wash on, and you'd like to wash on here, but you don't want to eat the whole meal here. So then you could have in mind, when you make the bracha on the bread, that I plan on finishing my meal in my house, and I'll have some more bread in my house, and you could do that without any problems at all. Okay, one last thing. This is all when you're eating inside your house. What if you're eating outside in a park or in the backyard? So what's called benching in your place? Benching in your place is as long as you're within Dalet Amos, 7 feet from where you ate, that's considered the place that you're benching in. That's you're at a park. You had a park bench, right? That's where's your house, all right? So you have to be within 7 feet of the park bench, and then that works out. Okay, we got that.
Sorry,
yes?
What happens if you didn't intake necessarily to eat in two places, but you did? So you started eating your meal in the kitchen, your work phone rings, and you go and finish your meal somewhere else.
Well, again, we're if it's within your house, it's generally in the same place. If you're going out of the house, that's when it's a problem. We assume that people, you know, anywhere in your house is that place. That's not really considered a brand new place, as it were. Okay, should have mentioned that. Okay, good. Now, here's an interesting one. We discussed, what if you made the wrong bracha rishon? Remember, let's say you took an apple and you made a shahakol. Did it work or not? Well, the same thing we have now, what if you made the wrong bracha achrona? Will it work after the fact or not? So what was the rule we said by bracha rishona? We said, if you make the wrong bracha rishona, is it after the fact okay, or if it's even not after the fact okay? We said, as long as what you said is true, then after the fact it's okay. But if it's not true, it's not okay. Remember we said, let's say you take a tomato and you make a bar pira eitz. Is that good after the fact? Well, let's say simpler. Let's say you took an apple. You took an apple and you made a bar pira dama. Is that okay after the fact? Why? Because you didn't lie. Because a fruit comes from the ground also. Even though it comes from a tree, it comes from the ground. If I say, thank you God for the apple, that it came from the ground, well, technically it did come from the ground because a tree comes from the ground. What about a tomato? You say, bless you God of the universe who gave me the fruit of the tree. Well, that won't work because that's not even true. What if I say, you know, everything exists by your word? Well, that'll help for anything after the fact because that's true. So just like we said that by a first blessing, the same thing is true with an after blessing. If what you said is true, then it's true. But if it's not, then it doesn't work. So this is more, we have to give some examples. So now we understand there's got to be a little bit of thought, just like there's going to be a bit of thought before you make a blessing. You got to have enough thought after you make the blessing. So let's see. One, if a person says the wrong bracha achrona, and if it's totally wrong, then remember, it's considered a bracha levatol. You said Hashem's name in vain. In which case, you now have to correct and say the correct bracha achrona. For example, if post facto, this incorrect bracha achrona, so that's the rule. Now, but what if sometimes could it work? That's the same thing. Like if it's totally wrong, it doesn't, but maybe sometimes it's not totally wrong. So the really complicated laws, we'll give you some examples, and we're going to show you a chart. Let's say, for example, you ate a few carrots. What's the bracha achrona on a carrot? Bracha achrona, not rishona. Achrona. Barena fashos, right? And you said, al hagefen. Well, that's totally wrong, because you're thanking God for the fruit of the vine. Carrots is not, that for sure doesn't work, because carrots aren't related to wine at all. Let's say you ate an apple. Okay, now, an apple, what's the bracha achrona? Is Barena Fashos. But instead you said the Al Ha'etz for the trees. Well, that's not the one you're supposed to say, but isn't an apple coming from a tree? So therefore, post facto, this works, since apples are certainly fruits, albeit not one of the five special fruits. Remember, you only say Al Ha'etz for the five special fruits, like dates, pomegranates. So you really weren't supposed to make it, but after the fact, it was true, so it works. Let's say if you ate a bowl of rice. And what's the bracha achrona on rice? Al hamichya. No, I'm sorry. What's the bracha achrona on rice? What? Barei nefashos. That's the one exception. Remember we said the one anomaly. What do you make a mazonos on and a barei nefashos? Rice. That's the one exception to the rule. Usually everything that's a mazonos gets an al hamichya. Rice is an anomaly. So now let's say you had the rice and you're supposed to make barei nefashos, but you made an al hamichya. So post facto it works, because rice is indeed related to mizonos foods, because you make a mizonos, even though it's an anomaly, so after the fact it would work if you made an alamichya. You follow the logic of that? Because it is a sustainer. Well, why do we make a bread of shos? That's other reasons, but it's not as much of a sustainer. It's still a sustainer. How about if you ate pretzels? So you're supposed to what? Make an alamichya. And what do you do? You benched. Well, pretzels, if you recall, is that funny category of pas haba bekisnim. It's that special type of, it's a bread-like family that gets a mezonos and not a motzi, gets an alamichya but not benching. But it's, remember, if you eat 50 pretzels, you'd bench. If you ate 20 pieces of cake, what's the bracha achrona? Benching. What if you eat one piece of cake? What's the bracha achrona? Mezonos. What if you benched on one piece of cake? It'll be okay because cake is a food that I could theoretically bench on. So any mezonos that you could theoretically bench on and you benched on it when you weren't supposed to, it will work because it's in that category. Okay, let's look at six. You ate a large meal of fish, potatoes, salad, and ice cream for dessert. Now, what is all that supposed to get afterwards? Brain of fashos, right? I mean, you ate tons. Your mamish ate tons. You're stuffed. But all it requires is a brain of fashos. And let's say, for example, you know how this would happen. Let's say you're at a wedding. So everyone at the wedding, they wash. Well, I'm not eating bread. I'm on a diet. So you don't wash. Meanwhile, you've stuffed yourself on everything else. You forgot that you didn't wash, right? Now you come to the end of the meal. Everybody's benching. Oh, I'm going to bench too, because you look like everybody else at there. You forgot that you decided not to wash. And now you end up benching with everybody else. You'd figure, wow, that for sure should be good, because I said so many words. I said 8 pages instead of 1 paragraph. Look at that. We say it's no good, because benching has nothing to do with Berei Nefashos.
Is it different if you ate
Then you'd be required to make an alamichya.
So
look at the example I gave you: fish, potatoes, salad, and ice cream. They're all berei nefashos. Now, if I would have given an example, fish, potatoes, cake, salad, and ice cream, then the benching would help for the alamichya, but you'd still have to make a berei nefashos. You follow? Let's say you ate a sandwich. That requires benching. And you said alamichya, post facto that works, because the alamichya is the abridged version of benching. So there's all kinds of examples. So here's the little handy-dandy chart that will probably help you with 95% of your cases. The way you read the chart is, going down, you're supposed to say, that's going down the chart, but instead you mistakenly said what's across the chart. Okay? So that kind of gives you the rules. So let's say, starting going to the right, if you mistakenly benched, okay, you're on the second column. Too bad I have no way to highlight it here. Okay, it says mistakenly said, and now going to the right, Birchas Hamazon. Not going down. If I mistakenly said Birchas Hamazon and an Al HaMichya, it's effective. If I mistakenly said an Al HaGefen, it's effective. It's also effective. But it's not effective for Allah 8, so brain of fashos, it won't work for that. The next column, what if I mistakenly said Allah Michya for benching? That's effective. And as well, it'll even affect for a Geffen, because it's still a type of sustainer. Even for Allah Geffen, it will work as some type of sustainer, but not for Allah 8, so brain of fashos. But the next ones, Allah Geffen by mistake never works for anything. Allah eats never works for anything except another random fruit. And Berei Nefashos is questionable since it's such an open one. And if it's questionable, that creates problems. And let's follow up on the chart. In case where the bracha was ineffective, you will now have to say the correct bracha achrona and you made a blessing in vain. It is proper to show remorse for having said the original bracha achrona in vain, right? And you say Baruch Shem Kavod. When they're faced with one of the questionable rulings, that's when you make Berei Nefashos instead. Then it's questionable, because it is a kind of a general catch-all. Remember we said Shahakol usually works for everything by mistake. It's a debate of Berei Nefashos, so it's questionable. So when faced with a questionable ruling, what do? You try to get out of the issue. Have someone else who's obliged to make the same Baruch Hamana have in mind and be motzi you. Or eat more food that requires a different bracha rishona, but the same bracha achrona. So when you make a bracha achrona on that new food, it covers the new one as well. Okay, we're rolling right along. How much time do we got? Oh, we can maybe get this done. Last thing for today. the idea of being motzi other people. Okay? Can you, my blessing, help for somebody else who's not making a blessing? Can we have one person make a blessing and other people can hear the blessing and they will not be required to make the blessing? That happens if, let's say, you're dealing with someone who doesn't know how to read, doesn't know Bracha Achronis. How does it work? We'll see there's a number of rules for this. Okay? Point one. And the word, the catch word is to be motzi someone. Motzi means to discharge a person's obligation. So we use the word motzi instead of discharge. Okay? So if you can find someone else who needs to say the same bracha as you, now this is first blessings, last blessing. Doesn't matter. Any blessing now. It's on all the laws. If someone else needs to say the same blessing as you need to, he can have you in mind while he says the bracha. Then if you listen carefully to every word of his bracha and answer amen at the bracha's conclusion, you have fulfilled your obligation too. This is based on the principle that said shomea ka'ona, literally meaning hearing is like answering. So technically, I tell you, please make the blessing for me, okay? And I listened to everything, and then I don't have to make the bracha. It's like I made it. In such a case, we say that he has been motzi you. In other words, he literally means to took you out of the obligation. Motzi means to take you out. I was obliged, I'm no longer obliged. And so he's motzi you, and as the listener, you are yotze. You're out of your obligation. So we both ate, we're both obliged. He was motzi me. He took me out of my obligation. I am yotze, I'm out of my obligation. And I don't have to make the after blessing. Now, there's a number of conditions for this to happen. How does this have to happen? A number of conditions. Number one, as the bracha is about to be said, the person saying the bracha and the listener both need to have in mind that the bracha is being said on behalf of the listener. So usually you will say that, I will have you in mind. That's why on Rosh Hashanah, before we blow the shofar, or on Purim, before we make the brachas, we always say, the chazan's having everyone in mind. And now everyone realizes it, that's number one. If you don't have that in mind, let's say a guy just made a bracha achron and just listened to him. Oh good, you made it, I don't have to make any more. No, well, we didn't decide, both of us didn't agree that I'm going to have you in mind. It doesn't work. But there's another important rule that has to happen. Five. Additionally, to be yotzi, you must hear every word of the bracha, just as you would have needed to pronounce every word if you were saying the bracha. Remember, saying listening is like you say it, but that only helps if you listened. Therefore, someone being motzi others, let's say saying kiddush for his family or the chas in the synagogue, has a great responsibility to pronounce each word loudly and clearly. You're making kiddush at the table. If the person making kiddush stumbles along and is misreading words, not only he has not fulfilled the kiddush, you haven't fulfilled the kiddush. If he says it so softly people can't hear him, that's not a good thing. So, however, post facto, but what if you heard, let's say, 95% of the words? Then it matters which words did you miss. If the listener failed to hear a non-essential word, it's okay. If it's not essential, remember we said there's essential parts of a blessing? As we learned in class 2, what are the essential words? Baruch. You have to hear the word Baruch. The name of Hashem. Let's say you heard Baruch, but not Atah. Okay, Atah is not so essential. But what about God's name? Well, you got to hear God's name. Melech Malchus, that God's the king, is an important word. And what the message was, like Bori Pri Yoetz. So technically, if you hear Baruch, but not Atah, you hear Hashem, and you don't hear Elokeinu, you hear Melech and not Olam, and then you hear the rest, and it's okay. As long as you hear the essential parts. Okay. Now, obviously, certainly one may not speak during the bracha. If you're speaking while the guy's making the bracha, that's not going to work. All right? Now, so let's say in a shul where they have a kiddush and someone makes an after blessing afterwards for everybody. That's not so simple. Because, okay, we could say he has in mind for everybody, but then it's got to be quiet. And let's say 10 people are talking while 90 are trying to listen, and the 10 people are talking, make it that you can't hear the guy, that nobody was yotze. So that's important. Now, in general, there's another rule. In general, if you won't see someone else, you need to be obligated in the same bracha. right? We have to be obligated to say a bracha. For example, you cannot make a bor pre'es for your friend if you're not going to eat some fruit yourself. Guys, I don't know how to make the bracha, Rabbi. Can you make a bor pre'es for me? He says, oh, I'll be happy to. Well, I can't make a bor pre'es if I don't need anything. So just like a bracha rishona, so too with a bracha achrona. You can't be mosi someone else, let's say in al hagefen, if you haven't just drunk some grape juice or wine, and even post facto one up. I can't make a bracha for you if I'm not obliged, basically, except for one exception. If the prison question is in question, it's being done for the sake of a mitzvah, this important factor, the listener is unable to say the bracha himself. And he has a mitzvah. He's obliged, but he can't do it. In such a case, you can be motzi. For example, even if you don't consume it. For example, let's say you want to make kiddush for someone. You're not interested in making kiddush. The guy can't read. He has an obligation to say kiddush. If I don't say kiddush, he's not going to make kiddush. So we have a rule that one Jew is responsible for another. If I don't make kiddush for him, he's not going to hear kiddush. So I can make kiddush or havdalah for someone who's unable to read Hebrew, even if you don't drink the wine, although the person being mosi should drink the wine. So technically, you go to a place and you make kiddush for somebody and you don't want to drink the wine. As long as they will drink the wine, you can make kiddush because that's a mitzvah. For a mitzvah, I could do it even though I don't need to do that. Now, men and women over 13 and 12 or so, it can be mosi other adults as well as children. Here's an important one. What happens? Your husband goes away for Shabbos, and you're alone with the kids, and you and your 11-year-old child is in the house, your son, and you want to show him what kind of big man he is. Okay, Moishallah, you're going to make kiddush for mommy because you're such a big boy. Not allowed, because a child cannot discharge the responsibility of a parent who's an adult, because the minor is not obligated. Only someone's obligated. So children can be only motzi other children, but not their parents. Very important rule.
Sorry, one question. So if, say for example, your husband has made kiddush, and then you haven't heard kiddush.
He can still make kiddush for you, especially if he's going to drink the wine.
And that's preferable than making it yourself?
Well, it's equal. It's equal. As long as he drinks the wine. If he's not going to drink the wine, then you should make the kiddush and drink the wine. Okay, that's what 12. Ideally, the person being motzi and the one being yotzi should be eating together at the same table. It's a new rule now. You got to kind of be together. That's another rule, right? It's not somebody, you know, I'm over there and I'm doing it for you over here. Like, you got to be together. It's also prevalent that everyone be seated at the time of the bracha, or at least to be standing in the same place. You can't have people walking around while I'm making a bracha achrona for everybody. We should be, it's called kavua, that we have a set place together. Okay? When someone is being motzi, you should answer amen. But even if you forget, it's still effective. Another 2 minutes will be done. Okay, as a general rule, it's preferable to say your own bracha rather than to rely on shomea kahuna. Generally, it's preferable. This is because it's often difficult for people to concentrate on someone else saying a bracha. But is it so good, is it easy for you to hear someone and listen to every word? What's easier, to say every word or listen to someone else? What's easier? To say it. Where is it easier to pay attention to what you're doing? When you're saying it or when you're listening? I should have phrased it. So a lot of times someone says it and your mind will drift and you won't be paying attention. It doesn't work. However, so therefore it's really better to have someone, you should do it. Because if you're going to rely on someone else, you may not pay attention. But there are certain situations where it's preferable to have someone to be motzi you. For example, in a case where you're not sure whether you need to say a bracha rishon or achrona, remember all those questionable situations? So what's the best way? Have somebody else who has to do it, because he for sure has to, and you're not sure if you have to do it. That is preferable to have somebody else say it for you, right? Because you might not be obliged. So if somebody else tells me, that's good. Also, another exception, in the context of performing a public mitzvah, shomea ka'ona is often considered the best course of action. For example, on Shabbos, It's a public mitzvah. The custom is that one person says Kiddush and Amotzi as well as Havdalah at the conclusion of Shabbos. Likewise, in the synagogue, one person says the blessing on blowing the shofar and reading the Megillah. If it's a public, so Kiddush is a public mitzvah. So let's say your husband made Kiddush and Shul. Nice coming home and there's 10 people at the table. Again, one person should make for everybody. So it doesn't matter if he made Kiddush already. It's one person making for everybody. And finally, if someone cannot say a bracha properly, either due to health reasons or lack of knowledge, it's best to be yotzei through another person's bracha, right? Even if he didn't eat, we said, because that's the only way he could do it. For example, it's no sitter at hand. And you know you got a bench, and you don't know the benching by heart. And your friend knows the benching by heart, but he didn't eat bread. He can bench for you. And you listen to every single word he says, and then it works. Wow, we did a lot of ground today. Okay, I think there's one more class on bracha achrona, maybe two. And then we're going to finish the entire topic of brachos, and we're going to start a new topic. And I can pick whichever one you want if we keep it in the weekday format. So I'm open. We're going to get around to everything, but if there's any particular weekday mitzvah topic you want to start next, you can let me know. We could start that one. If not, I'll just pick whatever I decide to pick. And I want to finish everything of the weekday before we get to Shabbos, right? So we've done a lot of weekday stuff, but if anything in particular, you can send me a message on that. Okay, we did exactly an hour.